Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Moncrief on News Talk.
It is time for parenting. Joanna Fortune is with us once again. Afternoon,
Joanna.
First question. My 17-year-old son is very into fitness and the gym. Over the past couple of years, he's gone through cycles of bulking and cutting, but his relationship with food seems to be getting more extreme. When he's bulking, he eats huge amounts and is constantly focused on food. Now he's on a cut and is weighing every ingredient, even weighing the pan before adding oil, measuring every meal and only eating at exact times. If I raise any concerns, he insists he's just being healthy and disciplined, and he gets quite defensive. I know careful nutrition can be part of fitness, but I'm worried that the level of control and obsession about food weight and body composition might be something deeper than simply healthy eating. How can I tell the difference between a genuine commitment to fitness and the early signs of disordered eating or an unhealthy obsession with body image? And how should I approach the conversation without pushing him away?
Such an interesting question, because there's a couple of things. Like, I often think of gyms as, you know, a gym can offer community and connection and belonging. And I always think for young men as well, like, there's so much out there about toxic masculinity and the manosphere and all of that stuff. But actually within a gym, young men can find an opportunity to connect with others and make friends. And I do think that's worth holding in mind, that just because your kid is really into the gym, it could be really, really good for them. And I don't just mean in a physical way, but in an emotional way as well. I was also, as you were reading that out, going, because of the cycles, these phases of bulking and cutting, is he training for something specific? Is he on a competitive team? You know, or has he got personal goals? You know what I mean? Like, is there a reason this is a cutting phase and the last one was bulking? Or is it just that he kind of oscillates between one or the other? All of that matters in terms of how should you view this. And I also think when somebody, especially a young man like this, is really hyper aware of food and fitness and training, is it interfering with his time with friends? Is it interfering with other activities in social life or school or education? Like, does this take over and it's all he is singularly focused on? Or is it a part of a busy, active, interactive life? Again, that would matter. I think, you know, if he's doing this all on his own, I'd be more concerned than if he was connected in with a program, a coach, a gym, where at least someone has eyes on him and can talk to him about it, linking him in with a coach who could say, okay, let's get your goals clear. What are your goals? Here's a healthy way to work towards those and maintain them. Because, like, a fixation on healthy eating and healthy foods can, when it becomes a disordered pattern, it's called orthorexia.
Yeah.
And it's a pattern of eating disordered behavior. It can become a full-blown eating disorder. But it's often, you know, people can mask it for a long time, Sean, because it looks like, I'm just healthy eating.
Yeah.
So I do understand this parent's question. I'm reading between the lines. That might be what they're really worried about is, could this be something else?
Well, the bulking up and then the cutting back,
unless you're really, again, if you were tied into some kind of a sport where that's a requirement or that makes sense, but like, people listening might go, oh, that sounds like whatever. But he's also only 17 and this is going on a few years. Okay, so it's not really recent. It's not a sudden change to how he's living. It is something he's been doing. So I would say, think back, is there a pattern to this? Is it now, you know, he's really into it and then maybe during school term time he's not? Or is this a pervasive thing? I would like to link him with somebody who knows about sports and fitness, knows about nutrition. I think that's also really important. Somebody who's qualified to talk to someone about nutrition, not just someone who kind of does the same stuff.
Yes.
Do you know?
Yeah.
But I think that would be no harm. It's very hard for a 17-year-old to take that concern and recommendation from a parent. They're just hardwired not to, and they're just going to look at, and it's no disrespect to this parent, but they're just going to look at you and go, you don't get it.
Yeah.
You just don't know. But if they're talking to someone who really, really does get it, that can be helpful. So I would certainly encourage that. I know I'm responding to this question with more questions, but they are important to think about. If you think, you know, no, this isn't tied to any particular sports or fitness goals, this is something that tends to take over his life and it's really all he's got going on, this is something that is an all-consuming fixation and I'm concerned about his body image, then yes, I would act on it. If it is, he is really invested in the gym, he's working towards specific goals and he's in communication and connection with people who can guide him through that, then ask him about it. Agree with him that you don't understand what he's doing and could he explain it to you and talk you through it?
Yeah. He seems to be, and when he's on a cut anyway, he's making his own food.
But I mean,
that's for a 17-year-old. That
I know, but also
it's unusual.
That makes me still going because it's one way of being really controlled about your food is to make sure you're the one that did it. It's the weighing the frying pan before you add the oil.
Yeah,
that to me, I was reading it going, okay, he's into the gym, but that bit just made me go, oh, that's very rigid.
I don't even see how the weight of the frying pan would have an effect on whether you're not eating the frying pan.
But if you're told X amount of milliliters of oil, then you're making sure it is precisely those milliliters.
That's very precise.
That's the bit where I'd go, could he be over literal in how he's interpreting that? What I'm saying basically is I understand the concern, but I would approach it with curiosity first, find out a bit more, and then if you remain concerned, the challenge here is you'd have to talk with him to get help. You can't drag him kicking and screaming. Yeah. He's 17 years old. So it's better that you keep the doors of communication open so that he doesn't feel threatened by your interest.
Yeah. I'm looking for advice on whether I should wean my 5-year-old daughter off the boob or let her self-wean. I have breastfed her to sleep since she was born, except for the odd night that I'm out. Her daddy or my sister puts her to sleep on these nights. She sleeps in bed with me. I gave up trying to put her in a cot at 3 months. She never slept in the car or buggy, etc. She was more of a super glue baby than a Velcro baby. I had no plan when I started. And if anyone told me I'd be feeding a 5-year-old, I would have laughed. But it turns out what's biologically normal and culturally normal for are two very different things. Just an FYI for listeners, the natural child-led weaning age for humans is 2.5 years to 7 years. She's a fun, loving, intelligent child, very sociable when she gets to know people well. She can also be quite intense and feels deeply. She clenches her fists when excited, has the odd meltdown when she's tired and gets overwhelmed in some situations such as play centres, birthday parties, etc. She's not the kind of kid that you could sign up to a class or camp and leave her. We've had plenty of drama settling her into second year in preschool, but once settled, she's thrived. During this time, she developed polycura. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
You'll have to explain that. It was weighing up to 24 times a day for 2 months.
Yeah, that's it in a nutshell.
Yeah, she attended play therapy to help with her big feelings. She had her first visit to junior infants in June, and that went way better than we expected. I know it's early days. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering if her dependence on me for sleep and regulation is holding her back. She's been home with me since birth. Preschool since 2.5. My gut says no, and it's her personality more than habit, but it's definitely not the norm, and I want to do right by her. Help.
Now, there's no should, there's no right or wrong when it comes to breastfeeding and weaning and what age you do. There really isn't. It is a personal choice, and it is something, is that working for you, the breastfeeding parent? Is it working for your child who's being breastfed? So I'm not going to, should you, shouldn't you?
Okay.
I'm not going there because there really isn't. And I know, and I get it, by the way, this parent, including the line, FYI for listeners, this is, you know, that defensive edge. But I get it, Sean, because I'm sure there's so much unsolicited advice, observation and feedback coming her way.
You might get a few raised eyebrows.
And
there,
you know what?
I
want this parent to hear, you don't need to defend this.
Mm.
Like, that is your choice and your relationship with your child. That's no one else's business. So you don't need to defend this. But I do understand that you probably have been in situations where you felt compelled to. The idea that she's not the kind of kid that you can sign up to a class or camp and leave doesn't faze me at all. She's 5 years old.
Yeah.
I don't know that you should be just signing them up to things and leaving them at that age. Mm. She's very young. Equally, that she's fun loving, intelligent, but she can be intense and feel deeply and squeeze her hands when excited. All normal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because she's still very much developing a capacity for self-regulation of her emotions. She's not there yet. None of that would faze me. And when this parent is wondering, you know, if her dependence, first of all, like, we have to kind of get out of our heads that there's something wrong with our children, young children being dependent on their parents. It's actually by knowing that they can depend on us that they learn to be independent.
Mm, yeah.
So again, she's very young. Don't be worried about that. And when you say, is this holding her back? I was kind of going, holding her back from what? You know, like, she's five. You are her world right now. So what you might find is that when she gets into school, now you might not equally, but when she gets into school and her life gets a bit bigger, there's more people, there's other influences, there, she might begin to pull away from you a bit. And as a parent who's had a super glue baby, not a Velcro baby, that actually can be very difficult. Mm. You know, you want it and you're so proud that they can do it. But then when it happens, you're like, oh my gosh, you know, because you've adapted to their dependence on you all this time as well. So you're both going through a new phase. I would suggest present moment awareness with this. I'm not a fan. I think I said it only last week. We're in this phase of kids starting school in September. Mm. So all the questions about the thumbsucker, should we stop this? I'm not a fan of introducing a change at a time of change. I think at a time of change, what we tend to anticipate is regression in children. Mm. It's not a time to go, off you go now, progress. So I would say let her settle into school, anticipate some mild to moderate temporary regression in any behavior, which mean she might seek out more boob feeding than less, at least at that time. The fact that you're only feeding her at nighttime is in not interrupting her school going at all.
Yeah.
You know, so don't be worried about that either. Give her time to settle. Don't be panicking if she's, you know, reluctant to go in at the door. It's very new. It's a new experience. School teachers, especially junior infant school teachers, are very experienced at transitioning kids in, and they will guide you and her in the door. If you want her to self-wean, see that out.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you want to wean her and you believe, upon observation, I think actually she's the kind of kid who might need a nudge, she may not be initiating this herself, then hold off a few months after she started school and certainly look at it then. But that is 100% a choice, not a necessity.
Yeah. I wonder actually, might she reach a point anyway when she's talking to her peers in school, if she mentions, I still sleep with my mammy, that she might hear,
it could.
I don't.
It could. And she won't be the only child sleeping with their mommy in junior infants.
Absolutely not. No.
But, you know, it may just be that you see her taking on a little bit more swagger, a little bit more sass, a little bit more attitude, you know, all those beautiful things.
that can happen. Yeah.
So you could see her pull away a little bit. But I don't expect that either. Just give her time to find her way with this.
Yeah. Since my little girl turned one, she's gotten to an awful habit of biting. We've tried saying no biting, putting her down out of our arms and not giving her attention for that behaviour, but it doesn't seem to be working. My friend told me she had a similar problem with her little boy and she bit him back. Apparently he never bit anyone after that. It seems a bit extreme to me. Any advice on what to do?
Don't do that.
Yes.
I need to be really clear about that. Okay, we are saying don't do that. That's very old school.
Mm-hmm.
That's like something that would have been done when I was a kid, you know, that kind of a time with this. That's how you will learn. You'll experience it. No, absolutely not. A child that age isn't doing cause and effect thinking. They're just going to think you were mean to bite them.
Far
from that, it'll reinforce the behavior. So we've talked about biting. It's one of the most common, normal, parentally challenging behaviors. And it's parentally challenging because it interferes with care provision. Mm-hmm. Because if your child is going to a childcare setting, they have to call you about this. If you know, I know it's an awful thing to say, but sometimes you prefer your child to be the bitee than the biter.
You know,
because it's easier to have it dealt with. At 1 year old, she doesn't have the language to express how she's feeling. So biting tends to be motivated by frustration. They can't express their feelings otherwise. So it comes out in that behavior. Cutting teeth. Because flesh is so nice on those tender gums. And it's more coming basically from how she's thinking and feeling. That's what's motivating it. Not a desire to hurt the other person.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it's not don't hurt your friend. Means absolutely nothing to her. All you can do with this is observe her closely as much as you can. Redirection and distraction. And just keep her active. If there is a particular child she's always biting, maybe observe how those two are playing together, because it's likely that they're annoying each other and it's still frustration that's causing it. But maybe get in the middle and keep an eye on them. It is a phase. Like, the vast, vast majority of the time, it's a phase they will outgrow. And as her verbal expression gradually grows and increases, her reliance on behaviours like this to express herself goes down. It's a phase. Now, some kids hit it early and they can run with it for quite a while, but you've just got to keep eyes on her. It's eyes in the back of your head time when that's going on.
Absolutely. Just going back to the first question we got about the 17-year-old into fitness in the gym and the cutting and the bulking up. One person says, I had a similar issue with my daughter and an obsession with going to the gym and what she eats. It doesn't take over, but it's 7 days a week. This one says, my 18-year-old son is cutting at the moment. He's going on 3 holidays soon, living on chicken and water right now. All his friends are doing the same. And I wonder, is that part of the thing? They bulk up. And you know the way, like, when, you know, in Hollywood, if they have to do a topless scene, they don't drink water and stuff like that. So the muscles stand out.
But
maybe that's what it's about.
Doesn't it show, though, how the whole narrative has always been about girls and food and girls and food? Yeah, actually, even in my clinical practice, because I happen at the moment to be working with some teenage boys, body conscious, body awareness, body esteem is such an issue for teenage boys. So it's really important that we are talking to teenage boys about healthy body image, healthy self-esteem, because they're very susceptible and vulnerable to all those influences. And don't forget, they're watching TV shows where everyone has their tops off and they're all, you know, they've all obviously prepped for going in and thinking of reality shows, the Love Islands and all of that that are on. Also, a lot of shows that would be marketed at teenagers have, you know, 30-year-old actors playing 16-year-olds with adult bodies. And if you're a kid going, oh, am I supposed to look like that? It does put a lot of pressure on them. So it is, you know, there's a balance between being healthy and being fixated. And it really is all about balance. Like, 7 days a week in the gym is a lot as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Joanna, thanks a million as ever. Joanna Fortune there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.